Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of an amazing series of studies entitled Salvation by Faith Alone, Paul's letter to Christians in Rome, but it is also for us today. And today's topic, well, it is life-changing, overcoming sin. And we are not talking about earning our way to heaven. We're talking about people redeemed by the grace of God, with a living connection with Jesus, whose lives are transformed by His grace. And it's going to be an exciting study. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. And welcome to the team. Amen. And welcome to our teacher. We're excited, Kyle, that you're going to be teaching again for us today. And you know, that's what Hope Sabbath School is really all about. It's about equipping men and women, younger and older, notice I pointed to myself, younger and older, to teach the Word of God. And it brings great joy to us to know that many are downloading that outline. Kyle's going to use the outline today. We've all got it here. Mm-hmm. And we're sharing an interactive study of the Word of God. So I want to encourage you today specifically, if you've been thinking about teaching an interactive class, download the outline. HopeTV.org/HopeSS. Get the outline. Get a group together. We started one not long ago in the little church where I'm a member. We grew from 7 to 13. Last week we had 23. Amen. Someone say amen.
Amen.
You say 23, that's not many. But what if we had 10,000 groups? That would be then 230,000 people studying the Word of God, right?
Amen.
So you can be part of that miracle, and we want to invite you to do that. Just a few emails. Thanks for writing to us, Suzanne from Massachusetts, in the United States. Anyone from Massachusetts? All right, that's up in what we call New England, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been a member of Hope Sabbath School for the past 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not been easy. I have lost 2 husbands to death, and I have had 2 personal battles with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned that following Jesus doesn't mean you're free from challenge or even the struggle of the pain of death in your circle. God's mercy and grace has brought me through. And it has attracted the attention of people around me. How can I still have hope and be positive?
Mm.
The answer is we know Jesus, right?
Yes. Amen.
I give credit to God, and I give thanks to Hope Sabbath School for keeping me focused during these difficult times. God has put many people in my path to walk with me and give me strength, and I count Hope Sabbath School in that group.
Amen.
Amen.
I say thank you, Jesus.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Thank you for writing to us, Suzanne. God bless you. She says, I'm your biggest fan. Well, I know what you mean. You're thankful for what Jesus is doing
Amen.
Through us. Chris is a Brazilian. Any Brazilians here? Oh, okay. We've got Juliana. But Chris is actually volunteering in Egypt.
Oh, wow.
And he writes and he says, I'm a volunteer from Brazil, been there 2 years in Egypt. I'm serving God as a nutritionist at an international school.
Mm.
I want to say I've been watching Hope Sabbath School. It's improving my English, but most of all, I'm learning more about the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Double benefit. Thanks for writing to us, Chris, from Egypt. Here's a note from Edwin in Florida. Anyone from Florida? Ah, we've got a couple of Floridians. We watch Hope Sabbath School every week, writes Edwin, and we are blessed. We live in a small town on the west coast of Florida. Keep up the good work, and may God bless you. And then he wrote something in Spanish, which some of you would be able to understand. He's bilingual. Hekimal, that's an unusual name, Hekimal, writes to us from Tanzania. Says, I started watching Hope Sabbath School when I was in high school through the Hope Channel, but now I'm in university, and I access Hope Sabbath School through my smartphone.
Amen.
And in case you didn't know, you can get the app. It's free from the App Store, whether you have an iPhone or an Android phone. You can download, and it automatically opens to the current program. You can also go back and watch past programs. He said, it's wonderful, and I am blessed. We are together. Amen?
Amen.
So there we are, Hekimal in Tanzania, studying in university, and he says, I'm with you, part of the Hope Sabbath School family. Well, do we have time for one from a Filipino in Ukraine?
Yes.
International family. Win, says, I am an ESL teacher in Ukraine. In recent weeks, I've been heavily troubled with the situation. I couldn't avoid being anxious. I've been struggling staying connected with God. But watching Hope Sabbath School has been a blessing for me.
Amen.
Praise God. It's helped me stay connected to God, and I've been singing the scripture songs along with you, and it's brought me to a peaceful place.
Amen.
In fact, I play the song 3 times before I watch the Bible study. You can do that with video on demand, you know. If you go to the website, you can just go back and watch it again. But he says, please pray for me. I'm still battling with a situation. Glory and praise to God. Amen?
Amen.
You know, that's life, isn't it? We're talking about overcoming sin.
Yeah.
The battle's real.
It is.
But we're also talking about victory in Jesus.
Amen.
And that's real too. Well, before we sing our song, I just want to say thank you to you, our Hope Sabbath School members. You know, when I became the president of Hope Channel, I didn't know that all our bills weren't just paid by somebody. But actually, it's dedicated partners like you who say, I believe in the mission of Hope Channel. I'm blessed by Hope Sabbath School, and I want to be a part. Some of you already are. I want to say thank you. To the rest, I would invite you to prayerfully consider going to hopetv.org/donate and say, Pastor Derek, I'll partner with you. We want to see the good news go to the whole world.
Amen.
And
yes.
Jesus come back. Amen. So thank you for being a partner with us. And not only in that, but in singing the song, because we need to hear from you. We're singing a powerful message.
Amen.
That God can work all things together for good. And after we sing, Kyle will lead us in a powerful study, Overcoming Sin. Let's sing together. One of the gifts is not only salvation, but victory in Jesus.
Amen.
So Kyle, lead us as we study about overcoming sin.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Derek. What a beautiful song that is. And it's truly a blessing that we can rejoice together, that in all things God works together for good. Let's pray as we begin our study today. Father in heaven, today we want to come before you and ask your blessing upon this Bible study. Lord, we thank you for the promise that we just sang, that all things work together for good to those who love you.
Amen.
Thank you that you freely give us all things because of your great love for us. And my prayer today is that as we study your word, that we would see more clearly your love and the power that you long to give us to overcome sin in our lives. And I pray, Father, that at the end of this study, we would be closer to you than when we began, and that we would see Jesus. This is our prayer in his name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We've had an exciting series of studies in the book of Romans. And it's really, really powerful when we look at these truths from the Bible that teach us about salvation by faith alone. Mm-hmm. You know, we started learning about Abraham and how he was on that journey in a previous lesson of learning to trust God, learning not to trust in his own righteousness, but in the righteousness that comes through faith. We studied about Paul and how Paul had to learn that lesson, that though he was the chiefest of sinners, he was saved by grace. Amen. Through Amen. Faith in Jesus.
Amen.
And so that lesson of righteousness by faith comes through so clearly in the book of Romans. But some say that this focus on justification by faith alone, just believing in Jesus, can lead to, well, cheap grace. Some people will say that, why do you focus on that so much? And I have today's study, as we look at Romans chapter 6, we'll answer that question. What does the Bible say about those who have a concern that, well, the Bible is only teaching about faith, about this belief? Is there more? And we will answer that today in this study about overcoming sin. So let's go to Romans chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 1. And I'm going to ask Jonathan to start us off. If you could read for us, Jonathan, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And again, we're looking here at what the Bible says about salvation by grace through faith, but what that leads to us in our lives as far as overcoming sin.
Okay, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not.
So Paul is saying that shall we continue, you know, we have this grace that's been given to us through Jesus by his great sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that we can continue in our past life of sin?
No.
It's almost like critics have been saying that, you know.
Right.
So you're just saying just keep on sinning, you know, because you can say, oh, God's grace is so wonderful. And he's saying, absolutely not. That's not what it's about at all.
That's right.
But it's almost like some people have said that because they're like, well, if you just say that salvation is just by God's grace through faith, you're just going to be wicked, wicked, wicked. The truth is a living connection with God changes everything.
Amen. It really does. And Paul continues. Let's go to verses 2 through 11. Paul responds to this concern, these critics that may be speaking against his doctrine of justification by faith. And let's read verses 2 through 11 of Romans chapter 6. Juliana, wondering if you can read that for us.
Sure. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now that's a powerful passage. There's a lot in there, for sure. Jonathan.
I find it a beautiful passage. I mean, like, just the symbology of, like, the fact that we can give up on, I mean, sin is what? Self-serving, like, seeking my own ways, going away into, like, I need this, I need that. That we can trust in, I mean, Christ who laid down his life and God raised it back to life again. So that this thing that is the foundation of our sin, we can say, I can count myself dead to my own self and trust in God's resurrection power and this new life that he provides. And
amen.
I think that's...
So we can count our old self dead to sin,
old self, right.
But by God's grace, our new life in Christ, we're alive in Christ through his power. Anybody else? As you've read this passage, what jumps out at you? What's powerful to you?
Kyle,
yes,
I'm reminded of another word of Paul where he says, if any man or woman is in Christ, they're a new creation.
Amen.
The old is passed away.
Yes.
Behold, all things have become new. And I think we think about that in terms of our sin, which brings condemnation. But also the old is that where sin had dominion over us. It had power over us. And the reason was because we were fighting the battle in our own strength. I think what Paul's saying here, we don't just rise up and God says, okay, try to do better now, Stephanie. We rise up a totally new life because Christ is our Lord and Savior.
Amen, amen.
So I think that that new creation picture.
Amen.
It's not just like a washed sinner who's now clean. It's a new creation.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, Puya.
Verse 3 start talking about baptism. This brings back memory to when I was baptized, back when I was 12 years old. I should remember, you know, being immersed into the water and coming back as the pastor, you know, perform the baptism. I just felt that experience of starting fresh, starting new, you know. God has forgiven all my sins from the past, and he has given me a chance to start a new journey, a Christian walk of faith. So I like the fact that it talks about baptism as comparing to the fact that Jesus died.
Yes.
As we died to our sin.
Yes.
And buried with him, rising to a new life.
Yes.
As Jesus was resurrected.
It's powerful. And that symbol of baptism is so powerful that when the person goes down into the water, it's like their old man is... or woman is left in the water, right? And when you're pulled up out of the water, it's a symbol of that new life in Christ.
Yes. Right.
And you're not living for yourself or in your own strength anymore. It's the strength that comes from Jesus.
That's
amen.
Right.
Powerful symbol of what God wants to do in our lives.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible though? Let me just ask you this question: to let sin reign in your body, even after you have accepted faith in Jesus? Let's go to
That's
Romans.
A
it's a good question. You're looking well. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. We're continuing to read here in Romans chapter 6. And who can read these next two verses for us? Maybe they'll shed some light on that question. Nicole?
The New International Version of Romans 6, 12 and 13 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness.
Okay. So, Nicole, is it possible, once you've given yourself to Jesus, to let sin reign in your body?
Well, it would depend on what you mean by reign.
Okay.
It doesn't have dominion. It doesn't have power over me. It still exists in my body because I'm still a human being.
Right.
But it doesn't have the same kind of power that it had before, where it actually almost bondaged me and made me a prisoner of it.
So we're still living in these mortal bodies, and we still struggle with the passions and the desires of the flesh. But by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes when we believe in Jesus, he gives us power to overcome. Amen. Anybody else? Daisy.
I was still thinking, like she said, there's still a possibility to revert back to your old ways. Because I think Paul gave a warning there. I'm not sure exactly which verse. But he says, do not go back to your old ways. So there's still the tendency of falling back. So we have to always be on guard to give the priority to the Holy Spirit to rule in our lives. Otherwise, self is always waiting for an opportunity to take over and rule our lives. So
Doesn't Paul say, I die daily?
Yeah.
Yes.
So if baptism is like saying, Jesus, put the old life to death and give me that new life in you.
Yes.
That's a daily decision. At least that's what I think Paul was saying. Mm-hmm. I die daily. And then he said, it's no longer I who live,
Christ.
But Christ lives in me. So, I think if we don't make that daily decision, we could find ourselves slipping back, maybe not to the dominion we experienced at one point, but maybe we could even end up there eventually.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, it's very interesting, too.
Or worse.
Or worse, right? But praise God that when we, and it says in verse 11, reckon yourselves. I don't know, there are some other translations of that. Some translations say, consider yourselves dead to sin. Yeah. But that idea, if you look at the verse there, that idea is a continual reckoning. It's like a daily. Mm-hmm. You've got to consider yourself dead to sin and alive to righteousness. Puya.
The question is it possible, right? The verse starts off with, do not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is possible.
Okay.
Unless we, we
have to choose. Mm-hmm. It's a daily choice. Yeah. Kenneth.
So just as we all said, we have to make a very deliberate decision that we are going to present our bodies to God. Because the lesson makes it clear from the scriptures that because we are baptized, the believer becomes a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So if you become a member of the body of Christ, you need to do what you have to do to stay in so that the daily connection, it will help you so that all the predisposition that you have inside your body, and then the proclivities, you don't revert back to your former ways.
I like what Kenneth said about the daily connection too, because it's not about this, I grit my teeth and I get up in the morning and I'm a good person today, right? I can resist sin. That's not the way. It's a daily connection with the power, the resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that can keep us alive in Christ. I saw Stephanie, you had a comment.
Yeah, actually I had a question.
Okay. I hope you're not, you can ask everybody, but.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
What does it mean to be dead to sin?
And I would say that is impossible unless Christ lives in us.
Wow.
I think we would fool ourselves to think, doesn't Paul say somewhere that the one who thinks he stands take heed.
Yeah.
Lest he fall? I think if I just say to you, I'm dead to sin, I'm in great danger.
You're in great danger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I say, Lord Jesus, I give you permission, because he's not going to violate my will, to put that old person to death. I'm going to ask you to do that every day. I do think over time that old person becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Mm-hmm. And the new person in Christ becomes stronger and stronger.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But it's a daily commitment.
It's a daily commitment.
And I just want to say it's more of a daily commitment to that than it is a daily commitment not to get angry or daily commitment not to steal. Because if I do that, I'm just focusing on those things and ignoring the one who can give me that victory, right?
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a daily commitment to behold Christ and to let his love change my heart. Gabriel.
And the scary thing from a human perspective is that our human nature and our tendencies to want to lean towards and desire to go back to those ways that we know are not good. And it's scary to think, I'm going to fall and I'm just going to trip up. But the scriptures tell us, in one of my favorite scripture verses, in 1 Corinthians 10:13,
okay, so we're going to, everybody turn there. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
1 Corinthians 10:13. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear
it.
In other words, we have to be able to lean on him. That's part of that dying daily. If you try and do it by yourself, you're going to trip up and you're going to fall.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a powerful promise, Gabriel. Powerful promise. Now let me ask you guys. Oh,
I just want to say, what's the way of escape? And the answer is looking to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Run to Jesus.
Run to Jesus.
The author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He is the way of escape.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the letter continues in Romans 6:14, and would someone read that next verse for us? Puya, could you read that for us, Romans 6:14?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
Amen. So Paul is saying that through the power of Jesus Christ, sin shall not have dominion over you. By His grace, you can live a righteous life. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just curious, though, what does that mean that when Paul says we're not under law but under grace? Because that's kind of, we've been talking about the law in some previous studies. We've been talking about justification by faith. What is Paul saying when he says that? Kenneth?
Well, when he says that, what he meant is not being under the law by way of salvation.
Okay.
But what the law only does to you is it reveals your sin to you, but it cannot save you.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah, I think Ken is absolutely right. Viewing the law as a way of salvation.
Yes.
Because he says if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the trick, because when I start thinking I can earn God's approval by my behavior or even earn my way to heaven, I take my eyes off the Savior.
Right. But a Christian says, a Christian says, well, I'm under grace, so I'm free to live however I want to live. Is that the right version
of Christianity? They need to stay with the study, because we're not going to just be free from sin, but slaves of righteousness.
Amen, exactly.
So tell them to stay tuned.
Amen, stay tuned. Daisy, one more comment.
Yeah, what we learned from the previous lesson, we were talking about our attitude, our mindset changes from seeing the law as do's and don'ts. Mm-hmm. To seeing it as, you know, a reflection of God's character, a right way of living for our own good. Amen. So is that a change and a transformation of our way of thinking or understanding of what the law is about.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Then you won't break the law just because your sinful desire is pushing you to do it, because you realize by doing that, you're breaking God's heart. You're, you know, you're not making Him happy. And our desire, after realizing what He has done for us, is to honor Him, to live to please Him.
Amen.
So the mindset changes.
That's right.
That's what happens from, and even though it's changed, you know you're still guilty of previous sins, but His grace has covered you in the sense that even though you deserve to die for what you have done in the past, He says because of Jesus Christ, you're covered, you know,
Amen.
So you're not going to be punished for those sins, but He's already paid that price for
and
you.
And what good news that is.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, that is hope. Mm-hmm. That is what Hope Sabbath School is all about. All right. Now I see Puya's hand. I'm gonna go to the next question, and I just want to ask you guys this: are there any examples that we can find in the Gospels of someone who found that freedom in forgiveness through Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. through faith in Jesus Christ, freedom from the dominion of sin? Any examples that you can think of as you look at the Gospel stories? Okay.
Well, I think Paul himself, you know, he went from
Amen.
Saul to Paul. In his own experience, he was saying, look, if anybody kept the law, it was me. I did it from A to Z. Mm. I was trying. But when he realized that, he saw the difference, that it was more of a burden trying to be like, okay, check mark. I've fulfilled this law. I have kept this law. I have kept the law. That was more of a burden. But when he came to understand that it's grace, because on his way to Damascus, when God revealed Himself to him and said, you're persecuting me. It's like, oh my goodness, when you thought you were doing the right thing, you were rather, you know, doing the wrong thing. And yet He's willing to forgive you. He experienced that grace, you know. And so it means something different now. That
Amen.
it's not a burden anymore. It's such a relief.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Someone else, a story, Juliana?
I think of Peter.
Yes.
And his life was something that had so many ups and downs of faith, but towards the end, where you have this, I mean, awful pitfall, and yet he still clung to his faith in Christ, and that's where he really found forgiveness.
Yes.
That the whole way that Christ brought him back is what he wants to do to each one of us. Mm. And then you see, I mean, we have the opportunity, thankfully, in the book of Acts to see how then Peter could move on from that experience.
That's right.
And again, this is an experience that is meant for us to see that we also can overcome the hits and the just most awful experiences where we feel like we've abandoned God. Mm-hmm. And God's just saying, I just want you back.
Amen.
And then I want to equip you to tell this story because it's going to be amazing.
And what an amazing truth, Juliana, that, you know, Peter denied his Lord three times. Mm-hmm. The one who he said he was going to die for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But and that God was able to restore him and use him, free him from sin, and use him to be a powerful witness to so many people.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
How many of us, you know, we've denied God in our own ways.
Mm-hmm.
But God is able, by his grace alone, to use us to witness to so many others. Mm-hmm. I saw, Kenneth, you had your hand up a moment ago.
I was thinking about the woman at the well.
Yes, amen.
You know, because of his life. But when he found Christ and he experienced the power of salvation, he went out to proclaim to the people of his town who used to see her in a previous perspective. But now they see a witness, you know, and she was able to bring people to Christ.
Amen. The woman at the well, powerful testimony of someone whose life was touched by Jesus. Yeah. And then she witnessed for Jesus after that. And there's others, many other stories that we could point to, I'm sure. I think of Mary Magdalene, others that Jesus forgave, and they found freedom. Zacchaeus, the demoniac, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many powerful testimonies of people who found freedom in Christ. And I think it's a great testimony to us here today and to everyone. It's part of our Hope Sabbath School team, because God wants to give us this freedom.
Yes.
Amen. And he is able to save to the uttermost anyone who comes to him.
Amen.
And that is a wonderful message of hope that God wants to give us. Now, here's a question, though. Let's say we make the decision, okay, we're baptized, we make the decision to give our life to Christ. We decide to set aside that old man of sin and be dead to sin and alive to Christ. But it's a daily decision, as we talked about. How can we ensure to continue to make good decisions, good choices, to follow him after we've accepted that gift of salvation? How can we ensure that growth continues? Anybody? Stephanie?
I really don't think we can do that on our own.
Okay.
We have to be spending time with God in his word and listening to him and praying, Lord, teach me. Show me the way. And he is faithful. He will guide our path. But once we disconnect, that's where our safety is no longer, we start to tread on ground that's unsafe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's that living connection that we have to have with Jesus.
Amen, amen. Puya.
I want to read this couple of verses from John 15.
Okay, John 15.
John 15,
give
verse
us just a moment, we'll turn there.
4 and 5.
Amen.
John 15, verse 4 and 5, I believe this will answer the question, how can we continue to accept, after we accept the Jesus salvation. John 15, verse 4 and 5, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Abide in me,
amen,
and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing.
Amen.
Amen. Mm. So Puya, that verse, what does that mean to you?
It means for me to continue bearing the fruit, or in connection to our lessons, how can I continue to make good choices? The answer is, by staying connected to the vine, Jesus,
amen.
Every day. That's the answer.
That's the answer. Mm-hmm. And, yes,
and you know, if you read the chapter, it ties in with the connection Stephanie was talking about. Over and over again, he says abide or remain, depending on how the verb's translated. You know, remain, abide, abide, abide. I mean, it's just that needs to be our focus.
Amen.
And I think it's so easy, like Gabriel was talking about, that we do... When we go back, we start focusing on past behaviors instead of saying, run to Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Run to Jesus. I think you can't run to Jesus and sin at the same time.
Mm. Wow.
That's true.
You can't.
That's true.
You have to turn away from Jesus.
That's true.
And from that look of love and acceptance and that vision that we talked about earlier that he has for us, a new creation, you can't. If you're looking at Jesus and running to him,
amen,
those other things will lose their power.
Mm-hmm. And how many of us have in the moment of despair, when we've struggled with our own sin, we've looked to Jesus and we've seen his look of love to us. Mm-hmm. And it's given us strength and power mm-hmm. to live for him. Mm-hmm. I just want to ask you, have you had an experience where you have found freedom in your own life? Maybe a testimony here, someone who could share a testimony of how God gave you freedom from the dominion of sin in your own life and how you found salvation through Christ. Haiti.
Is it the other way around, actually?
Okay.
That we first find the salvation in Christ.
Amen.
And then we see the freedom that he gives us.
The freedom that
I think
he gives.
If we wait to find the dominion before we come to Jesus, we'll wait forever.
Mm, mm, mm.
And that's a lie of the enemy, mm-hmm. that you're not good enough to come.
Mm-hmm. We have to come as
we come
are.
As we are, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And then by his
new
grace.
New creation.
Yes.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Haiti has a testimony.
Mm-hmm. I don't have freedom from every sin, absolutely not. But when I was in college, I started to come closer to God. And I was praying, and I was talking with him a lot every day. Praise God. I have never done that before or after. So pray for me that I can restore that relationship that I had. But at that time, I also was still struggling with some issues from my youth. One in particular was listening to worldly music. I listened to that all the time. I would be watching music videos, listening on the radio. My alarm clock had a radio, and I'd be listening sometimes to three songs at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I was so obsessed with it. And it would change the way I would think, I would speak, I would say ugly words that I'm offended by now. And in this time when I was praying, I would still listen to that. And one day I had been in the car listening to the music, and I got to my house, and I got on my knees, and it was my time to pray and to talk with God. And God said to me, I heard him speak, and he said, you know, when you get down on your knees and you talk to me, but then you get up and you put on that music, you undo everything that we just did. Mm. And that to me was convicting. Mm. I was like, oh my goodness, God, first of all, you're speaking to me. And second of all, whoa, you know. And from that moment on, I stopped listening to music. It was still attractive to me. Mm-hmm. It was still, you know, a temptation. But I could say kind of cold turkey, I quit from that day on.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. How do you translate cold turkey into Polish?
Oh.
I'm going to get an email. How do you translate cold turkey?
Cold veggie
turkey. You just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't just stop and do nothing. My mom had, in that time, there were still cassettes and CDs, and she had this one cassette of music. And I started to listen to that instead, all the time.
Amen. Amen. Which is a good point, because when God convicts us to leave something out of our life, he wants to give us something better.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. It's not just getting rid of sin, it's being praising it with good things. Thank you for sharing your testimony.
Can I ask Haiti a question? Because
mm-hmm.
I think it's important, and I don't know the answer, but when God came to you and said, when you listen to that music, you undo all of the connections that we've been doing. How did that message come to you? An angry kind of chastisement?
Not angry at all.
See, I think this is so important. We get a true picture of
That's
the character
true.
Of God.
No, what, just how, like the most beautiful, like patient, loving voice. Just in such a calm, gentle way.
You still remember?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely remember.
Amen. Amen. God wants us to be happy, and he wants us to be fulfilled. And so it's his love that leads us away from these things that harm us and to things that are better for us. Anyone else, a brief testimony of how God helped you in your life? Yes, Michael.
Growing up, I liked to play sports a lot. Mm-hmm. And as I began to draw closer to Christ and want to become more like him, I realized that on any athletic field, basketball court, that I was a horrible individual while I was playing. And as I drew closer to him, I realized that I needed to give that up. And it wasn't something that just happened overnight. It was something that I was having to daily ask for strength and help with.
Amen.
And it took years until I felt like I could actually get out on an athletic field, on a basketball court, and just truly enjoy like the competition or being able to play with people and walk away thinking that I probably, there's times where I messed up, but I probably really reflected Christ on the court the way I wanted to. Yeah. But it definitely took, it took time, and it took a lot of praying.
And the key to your overcoming in that area, what would you say that key was, Michael?
I go back to verse 5, with the word united. Trying to be united with Christ and trying to want to reflect Him as best I could.
And that goes right back to the verse that Puya pointed us to in John 15 about being united to the vine. Yeah. When we receive of His life and His strength, we can live for Him. And on that note, thank you for sharing your testimony, brother. Are there any other scriptures that come to your mind that just are powerful promises that have encouraged you in your walk with Jesus to be faithful to Him and to live for Him? Anybody want to share a promise that has been powerful for you? Daisy.
Sure. I have a lot of scripture, but okay. I had to narrow it in one that kind of pertains to this lesson, which will be Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24.
Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24.
Okay, Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by their hand."
Amen.
This is encouraging because some people think, oh, when you convert and you become a Christian and you accept Christ and everything should be perfect. But you know, along the way you face bumps, and sometimes even your past comes to haunt you. And sometimes Satan tries to make you feel like, oh, you're not good enough, or you don't deserve anything good. But it says nobody is righteous. Like nobody has never sinned, let me put it that way. But he says he holds them. It's like, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hands. It comforts me and lets me know that God is with me all the way.
Amen.
You know, no matter what happens along the way, He's still with me.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. One more quick text, Lourdes.
I have Philippians 1:6, and I'll be reading from New King James Version.
Amen.
And it says,
give us a moment.
Oh, yeah. Give us just a moment.
We try to do that as quickly as we can.
Our fingers are moving quickly.
You know, it's encouraging to me, Kyle, that we're reading our Bibles.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit can bring a promise that's just what we need at that moment.
Amen.
And that's part of this victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Is He brings His promises to us.
And I love singing them too. That's why I love singing the scripture songs at the beginning.
Well, my wife keeps writing more because it's easier to remember them when you have a song.
Amen. So thank you, Lourdes.
Okay. It says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ."
Amen. What does that mean to you?
When I got baptized, I thought it was done. I had started a new life. I will never sin again. And actually, the battle started in my heart. Mm. And like she was saying, it made me sometimes doubt, like, what did I do wrong? Or the enemy saying, bringing the past into my new life. But these make me realize that God will continue to work with me every single day. Amen. I just need to have or run to Him or be humble enough.
Amen.
But He will, until the day He comes.
Amen. Amen.
So no matter, we're still going.
What a powerful promise. Okay. What a powerful promise. Thank you for sharing that one. Well, let's move on in our study. We've got a very powerful section here as we're moving towards the end. But we're talking about what it means to be a slave of righteousness. We've talked about the power that God gives us to overcome sin. But Paul speaks about being a slave of righteousness in these next few verses. And we're going to read starting with verse 16 through 18. And if I could ask Brother Gabriel, if you could read that for us, Romans chapter 6, starting with verse 16 and through verse 18.
All right. And I am reading from the New King James Version. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
So Paul says that they had been slaves to what?
Sin.
To sin. But now they were choosing to be slaves of
righteousness.
Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when he says that they were slaves of sin? Are people, Lourdes?
You can only pick between those two. You only have two options. There's no in between. Mm. So we like to think sometimes. There's, you either choose the enemy or you choose God. And like in the world, it makes you think when you choose the enemy, you have freedom and you, you will have a happy life. But the beginning looks that way, but at the end, it's death. But with God, it seems like it's all, you're surrounded. Like when you take care of a child, you put all the things around it, but actually you have freedom. And you have the true freedom.
Amen. So people think that they're free when they're living in the world, they're doing their own thing, but in reality, they're in slavery, right? Jonathan?
Yeah, and just when you have all these passions and stuff going on, but there's a slavery that when you can't control your own response to how you, what your desires are, then that's that's slavery. That's
Juliana.
There is an individual that's famous in American history. She was kind of known as Moses because she would bring the slaves from the South into the North in the period of our history when we had these awful things going on. And there's a famous quote from Harriet Tubman that I love that says, "I would have been able to save so many more people if they just realized they were slaves." And I feel like that happens with us sometimes when we're slaves to sin and we don't recognize what that means, what it is to be under the power, and what you're saying that like it, we don't understand. And when we do, then we would want the freedom that comes from being a slave of righteousness. And the word slave, especially in this country, is very, it's very difficult to deal with, but the idea of just allowing something to have total control over us, and what do you want it to be? Do you want that to be sin, or do you want that to be the righteousness of Christ?
Right. Yeah, because basically the idea is that you're going to have a master, one way or the other, and you're either going to be mastered by sin, or you're going to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to choose who our master is. And Paul continues in verse 19 through 22. He continues on this thought about becoming a slave to righteousness. And I wonder if you could read that for us, starting with verse 19.
Through 22, the New International Version says, "I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did it reap you at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life."
Amen. So what does it mean, considering these verses we've just read, what does it mean to be a slave to righteousness? Kenneth.
Yeah, it means belonging to the side of God. You know, when you belong to God's side, He leads you. He tells you His plans for you. And He empowers you to be able to do what He wants you to do.
Amen.
But I'm thinking at the same time, Jesus said to His disciples in John 15, "I no longer call you servants, but friends."
But friends.
So it's true that we've only got two sides. But the kingdom of darkness oppresses people.
Right.
The kingdom of God sets them free.
Sets them free.
Who wouldn't want a master who set you free? It's counterculture, isn't it? It's the message of the kingdom. In fact, He adopts us as His sons and daughters.
Amen.
So, but we surrender all. This is the paradox. We surrender everything to be set free.
Amen. He wants to set us free.
He does.
He wants to
set us free. And who wouldn't want to surrender to one who loved us and and emptied heaven to save us?
I've got several hands that are coming up now because everybody's... Stephanie, a comment.
Right. That I was thinking down the same vein, and that is that either you are a slave to a master who could care less about you, he just wants to bring you down and destroy you, or you are a servant, you're a friend of someone who has your very best interest in mind and would do nothing to hurt you, only wants to give you the best. So, I mean, comparing those two, who wouldn't want to go to... a servant or a friend of righteousness.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes.
And the Bible says something which is so powerful. It says that when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Amen. Amen.
You know, the world and the devil and all these things try to present an illusion of freedom, which we realize after we've fallen victims of that, it is more worse than even slavery. But the Bible says when Jesus sets you free, that is true freedom.
Amen.
Isn't that the cry of the human heart? Yeah. We want to be free. But Satan just wants to entrap us. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants to set us free. Mm-hmm. Lourdes.
I'm going to try to remember quite how the story went, but when they used to buy a slave, they will buy the slave so they can punish him and treat him bad, but someone bought a slave to let them go free. And then that slave will be like, oh, let me serve you because you let me go free. And out of love you're going. Awful. So that's the difference. Satan will... You open the little door and he'll push his way through. But with God, he's inviting us, come to me. And because he gave his only son to die for us, out of love we want to go to him. And he's given us true freedom, the real freedom.
Amen.
I want to be a slave of that, 100%.
We serve him out of love.
Yes. Right.
Because Jesus died for us. Mm. I mean, what greater motivation could there be to serve God than to know that the Son of God gave his life for you? Mm. Now, but question though, if you've been set free from sin, does that mean that you're going to be sin-free the rest of your life? What does that mean, Nicole?
We're still human.
Yeah.
Okay, and we still have our frailties. We still have our anxieties and our worries. But I think that there's a hope. We have a hope that all of this is going to pass away and that we're going to actually be with Christ in eternal life. And so... a slave of God for me is just being really loved, because God is love. And if you're a slave of love, then there's nothing else other than love. So it's not being free of sin. It's really being loved for who you are and for knowing that if you do stumble and fall in sin, that you can actually get back up and Christ is going to pick you up and get you going along your path again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Daisy?
And also to point out this, as long as Satan still exists, he's going to find ways to bring us down because he doesn't like the fact that we are on the right track. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for loopholes, trying to find a way to get in. Mm-hmm. So just because we have chosen to serve God doesn't mean we're immune. Satan is still trying to find us. So he's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be on guard and keep that connection with God so that we don't fall for his little traps that he sets along the way. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You know, I think it is God's ideal that we would not stumble and fall. He is able to keep us from stumbling.
Amen.
Yes.
But I love the way that the aged apostle John, 1 John 2, you know, he says, "My little children, I pray that you would not sin."
Yes.
But if we sin,
amen,
we have an advocate. Amen. That's what Nicole's saying. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And of course, he's just said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So we don't have to pretend to him. Well, we say, "Whoop, I'm sorry, Jesus, I slipped and fell. I shouldn't have spoken like that, or I shouldn't have had that negative thought," or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We have an advocate.
Amen.
And he's on our side.
Amen. And that's such a powerful thought, that we have an advocate who's on our side. Jesus is not out there to condemn us. Mm-mm. He wants to save us. As we read in a previous lesson, John 3:17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
God wants to save us, and God wants to help us to overcome through his grace. So just as you reflect on this lesson today, and as maybe a testimony or a word of encouragement to someone who may be listening today who needs some encouragement in their life. They may be struggling with sin and they need power to overcome. What would you say to that person today, Jonathan?
Yeah, I was just thinking about, I mean, I think this is very relevant for, I mean, you look across the world and how many I could say us, because I think we all struggle with things, but I mean, how many in our world are stuck, and this world does everything it can to draw us out to different passions, to different whatever. I mean, like, you just look all around you, whatever it is that the world can draw on some appetite in one way or another. So just the idea that there is a hope to be free from that. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if that's true, that can completely change our life and give us a completely new way of life. So I think this study is very relevant for people, and so that the answer of the death to Christ, the death to self, and that trust in this mm-hmm. new life that Christ can give, and this idea that we can completely give our identities over to God and trust that He will take them, I think I can provide hope for many people.
That's beautiful. And that's what Hope Sabbath School is all about. We want everyone to know that Jesus wants to save you. And you know, you may be struggling with something in your life. You may have been just heard about Jesus, and you're just finding out about the power of the gospel. Jesus wants to change your heart. Mm-hmm. He wants to set you free from the law of sin and death and make you alive to Him. Maybe you've known about Him all your life, but today you want to recommit to being a slave to righteousness, to being a servant, a friend of the Most High God, who loves you, who gave Himself for you. That's what Jesus wants. He wants us to be overcomers, not in our own strength, but by His grace alone, so that when He comes, we'll be ready to meet Him.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle. Great lesson, and thanks for sharing. And thank you for being part of our Hope Sabbath School, too. And thanks for the invitation that Kyle just gave us, because you know, someone's watching today, and today is your day of freedom. Amen. Today is your day of salvation.
Amen.
Jesus saved me. And maybe there's someone who used to walk with Jesus, and you've been living for the enemy, and today is your day to come home.
Amen.
Just like the one we prayed for. He said, I want to come back to Christ. Amen. Today could be your day to say, no more slavery to sin.
Amen.
I'm coming back to Jesus.
Amen.
Can we pray for that miracle today?
Amen.
Father in heaven, thank you for the power of the gospel, the good news of your love revealed so clearly through Jesus, your Son and our Savior. I thank you, Lord, for those who today are saying yes to you. Jesus, save me. To those who are saying, Jesus, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I don't want to be a slave anymore to sin, but I want to be your servant, your friend. Thank you for lives that are changed, including ours, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. It is a journey. If it was for the Apostle Paul, it is for us too. Daily, surrender to Jesus. Say, Jesus, be Lord of everything. Go out and make a difference to the lives of those around you.